remind us of Brother Keith this morning in his sermon. I mean, in his lesson, reminding us of this wonderful package that we have. And so we are kind of broke the ice this morning as we get started on this section one. And so we want to really encourage everyone to make sure you have a copy of it and also use this as we go forward and becoming better disciples and better sharers of God's wonderful word. We found Jesus, and we don't want to keep it to ourselves. And there are different ways of sharing, and again, this effort is really about us reaching out to others. This is what this is all about. In this section one, we're talking about a topic that I want to focus in on tonight. I know that we have the Each, Reach, and Teach. But one of the things that is critical in our effort of thriving as opposed to surviving only, and that is the idea of us making sure that the Word of God remains unadulterated, that the Word of God remains what it is intended to be, and that is the source of our faith, the guidance for us to get to be with God in eternity, and that which is going to allow us to discipline ourselves as we walk down the cobblestone streets of this life. And any kind of compromise, so far as the Word of God is concerned, is going to be detriment to us. We are not interested in how much strychnine we can drink without getting definitely sick. We're not going to just put a cap full or maybe a half a cap full in our beverage. We're not going to do that. We don't want to drink any strychnine at all. We're the same way with the Word of God. We don't want to see how close to the edge we can come without going into apostasy. No, we want to get as far away from the edge as possible so that our faith can continue to be built. Our brother Paul had a young fella, several, but want to talk about one of these young fellows tonight. Young fellow by the name of Timothy. Many will say he's in his late 20s or early 30s. But he was one of Paul's boys, if you will, one of Paul's ministers that worked with Paul, that worked tenaciously in the first century to preach and to teach the wonderful truth. And it was this Timothy that Paul will dispatch to different locations. As they set up congregations, Timothy, Titus, and others will be sent to confirm the faith, as well as Paul himself will go to different places to make sure the Word of God was continuing to be preached effectively and correctly. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul lets us know some context here. He says in 1 Timothy 1 that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. And he said, I'm writing to Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. When we think about the word apostasy, there are several definitions, and I want to just throw out a few tonight just to hold your thought as we navigate around this particular subject tonight. Apostasy from the Greek carries the idea of to abandon, to rebel, to desert, to forsake, to fall away from. And those are many passages, Hebrews 3, Acts, there's tons of passages, but the summation of it is that apostasy is walking away from the truth of God's word. What we see here in Timothy, as well as in Thessalonica, or the letter to the Thessalonians, we have this idea that the message that was delivered, all of a sudden this message has now been compromised, has been rejected, has been abandoned, or has been saturated with mystical things. And so our brother Paul writes Timothy, as he has dispatched him there at Ephesus, to make sure he charged certain men that no other doctrine or no other teaching take place. The fact that Paul could charge Timothy to preach a particular message means that there is an incorrect message that can be taught also. You know, when you and I were in school, and many of you are in school now, when you get a multiple choice question, you have maybe four or five possible answers. You and I don't get to debate which one of those answers are right. The teacher has some kind of a slide or some kind of a questionnaire or some kind of a scale, if you will. And on question number four, the answer is B. Now, you can debate, you can disagree, but you still got it wrong. Because that's the standard that, and I'm sure there's some, maybe the copy machine made a mistake, but you know for the most part. Question four is the letter B, and you can argue till the cows come home. If we have this, so for something as academic as English or math or whatever the case might be, how much more so do we have it so far as the Word of God is concerned? If 2 plus 2 equals 75, then that's going to cause a problem when you're about to get paid, or maybe when you're paying somebody, is the idea. So we want to make sure we do that. Paul will tell Timothy in chapter 4, where our lesson will come from tonight. In chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly. And you notice the Spirit there has a capital S. This is the Holy Spirit. That in the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And here's some of the outcome of this false teaching: forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. One of the errors, one of the apostasies that was being participated in is that some were saying that certain things have already happened. And the reality of it is that now you Christians who believe the Word of God, now all of a sudden you're believing in error. And as a result of that, many of the faith of our brothers and sisters was disturbed and overturned. There were a lot of folk, just like in Galatians, that really felt when they came into Christ, it was enough for them just to hear the unadulterated gospel preached. But after a while, they were being told that not only do you need to obey the gospel, but there is a system of doctrines that is really tied to the Old Testament that you need to obey. And if you don't, your faith is in jeopardy. And so many of the brethren in Galatia and other places actually began to leave the grace of God and go back under the law of Moses, trying to somehow work their way to heaven. There was just something about us working as opposed to experiencing the grace of God. They kind of took their salvation into their own hands, and as a result of that, Paul said, you've fallen from grace. And so we see the apostasy is a tremendous challenge here if you and I are not wise, if you will, in the words that we have. A couple of thoughts tonight, and I want to just kind of go on and close out tonight. Are the Cowboys winning? They still winning? Okay, I think they're winning, so you can see it later on, okay? If they're not winning, you can't do anything about it anyway, right? So let's all right. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 18, watch one of these apostasies. Now, this is congregations that Paul has worked at, Timothy has worked at, Titus has gone through. You have a lot of activity here, but all of a sudden, you got some issues. Houston, we got some problems here. So, in 1 John chapter 2, flip over there for a hot second. In 1 John chapter 2, watch one of these diabolical things that was part of the apostasy. Little children, our brother John writes, it is the last time or last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, John says, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they may be, that they might be manifest, that they are not all of us. But we have an anointing, if you will. John is saying that the apostasy didn't just happen over here in a vacuum, that the hypocrisy came because there were some that was with us and they left the faith. And they created something that was never intended to be created. When you begin to look at a lot of the false teachings that different churches began to espouse, it has its roots many times in the truth. But men decide they want something more than just what's being said. And as a result of that, they began to come up with their own ideology. Watch John here, John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 2. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now this is said from an apostasy standpoint. John is not saying that you today, 2,000 years later, if you just acknowledge that Jesus come in the flesh, that you're safe. That's not the backdrop. The backdrop of 1 John is that there were an apostasy that says that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh. That the Jesus that you're worshiping, that you're appreciating, that you're glorifying, could not have come in the flesh. And here is why. It's because all flesh is evil, and God is holy and righteous. So there is a theological quandary here. If all flesh is bad, and if God is all good and spirit, it is not possible for Jesus to have come in the flesh. So if you have believed and you have had comfort in knowing that Jesus was tempted in all points just like you are, yet without sin, what are you going to do when you find out that he did not actually come in the flesh? Where's your hope? And this was overturning so many faiths of our brethren. So watch how John started out. You have to know this, and then you can understand why John is saying what John is saying. In 1 John chapter 1, verse number 1, watch how John succinctly and profoundly addressed this issue that he'll capture later on. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, talking about the Lord, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and with our hands have handled of the word of life. So John says that I saw him, I heard him, I talked with him, I touched him. So when somebody tells you that Jesus didn't come in the flesh, I'm a witness. I'm the disciple that laid in the bosom of Jesus. He had to have had a bosom for me to lay in. Apostasy. Because somebody had a theological position that says that God is perfect, he's a spirit, and they came to the conclusion that all flesh is evil. And they pour into that the presence of Jesus. It's not possible for Jesus to have come in the flesh. And if you believe that, you obviously are not academically in tune with our philosophy. Do you understand what's going on here? That's one. There's another one. And this is probably the one that Paul is addressing in 1 Timothy. And that is, if you look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 18, we're just making some points and draw some conclusions here, and then you can go home. In 2 Timothy, listen to verse number 2, chapter 2, verse number 18. As Paul talks to Timothy here about one of the apostasies that's happening, who concerning the truth have erred. Here's the apostasy, saying that the resurrection is already past. And by preaching that apostasy, are overturning the faith of some. If you have been a member of the Church of Christ, you've been baptized into the body, and you are being told that just like Jesus was resurrected and went back to heaven, you also will be resurrected. And so what happens now when a false teacher comes along and the false teacher says, hey, I hate to tell you, but the resurrection has already happened. You missed it. You know, it's like the old saying, you know, if my ship comes in, I'll probably be out at the airport. So here, this faithful group of people have already been told that the resurrection that you're waiting for, that you're hoping for, happened already. So therefore, they're not given in marriage in the next life, just like the angels. So they now forbid you to marry. Why? Because the resurrection has already happened. You don't have to worry about eating certain things. Why? The resurrection has already happened. You got your new body. It kind of reminds me, I think it was in 1914. I wasn't around then, but I heard about it, that they say that there was a prediction that Jesus was going to return. And so I think that was like the second or third prediction. And he didn't show up. And so now either they have to say we're wrong again, or they chose the other. They said, well, yeah, he did come, but nobody saw him. But that's profound. It's not possible that our doctrine is wrong. You just didn't see him. The audit is on you. And so what happens to your faith? If an integral part of your faith is looking forward to our resurrection, and now you're being told that the resurrection is past, that you missed it, what does that do for your faith? We're talking about apostasy. And the third one I want to focus in on, and then we'll draw some conclusion. And that is the words of the apostles. You know what Jesus prays about in John 17? That those words are not really valid. That they were just kind of a first wave. But we got the superior truth. So watch what happens here. In 3 John, verse 9, our brother John writes a letter to the church. And one of the elders, named Diotrephes, intercepts the letter, and he refuses to allow the church to read it. Who does Paul think he is? Or John think he is? I'm Diotrephes. I run it up in him. My words are just as significant as John the apostle. So you have three apostasies here that I just want to focus in on just a little bit. And that is, number one, Jesus didn't come in the flesh. And secondly, the resurrection that you're looking forward to has already occurred. And the third is that the words of the apostles are not that significant. You need to listen to me. So three thoughts here, and the lesson is yours. What is the source of apostasy? I think we go back to our mother and our father in the Garden of Eden. God clearly says, watch the nature of apostasy. God clearly says, of all the trees, got 100 trees out here, just let me paint a picture, have 100 trees, and you can freely eat 99. But this one over here in the corner, leave it alone. Because the day that you eat thereof, you're going to die. That's the word. Watch apostasy. The devil comes in and he says that ain't true. God is jealous of you. He's trying to keep a brother and a sister down. We Because he knows the moment you eat that fruit, you'll be just as smart as he is. Do you need a napkin? Or you want to use my little knife so you can cut your piece and give it to your husband? Here's the essence. Here's the very foundation, the source of hypocrisy is Satan himself. And Satan is going to use different methodologies, but the reality of it is Satan himself is behind ultimately the deterioration or the compromising or the washing asunder of the Word of God. Number two, and that is the instruments of apostasy. And this is where it gets kind of interesting to me. There are truly false teachers. There's truly people out in this world that are not nice people. The other day I heard about the case that was 25 years old. A fella kidnapped this little boy, did all kinds of bad things to him, killed him ultimately. And now he is in jail, and he works a deal out with the district attorney or with the justice system that he will tell the parents that have been waiting for this boy to come home for 25 years what happened to him so that he can get a sentence of, I think, 20 more years. You know, a lot of stuff don't bother you, but who would lay in wait for, I think he was 7 years old, and do that to this kid and keep it under wraps for 25 years? Who could do that? Could do that? There are bad people in this world. When you talk about apostasy, there are people in this world that will use religion from the standpoint of the money maker. I mean, you may have some prayer cloth and some holy water in your closet right now. Or you might be sending donations in to somebody crying on the television set that you feel sorry for because they're praying for the poor children in China someplace, and you have an automatic withdrawal from your account every month. We've had cases where people come, I need some benevolence. Why? Because I'm supporting some minister out of Louisiana someplace and I can't pay my rent this month. There are people that will take the Word of God and use it in a manner that is damnable to the person that they're speaking to, but is lining their pockets. So the point of it is you have truly false teachers that know they're false teachers, don't care that they're false teachers, and will be a false teacher if you listen to them. That's just the way it is. So those are instruments of hypocrisy, of this idea of apostasy. You have instruments. One of those instruments is truly, simply false teachers. But there are some more. There are some that are coming out of God's leadership. That's what Paul says in the book of Acts, chapter 20. Paul says, you know, I was with you day and night. He said, but take heed to yourselves. He's talking to the elders from the congregation where Timothy is laboring, for among you. And so Satan is going to use or have instruments, clearly a false teacher, but also if he can work into the leadership of a bona fide Church of Christ, Satan will use that as well. He'll use ministers. Oh, just like he does over there in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 20. In fact, turn over there if you don't mind, 1 Timothy 1:20. Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they learn not to blaspheme. These are folk that work with Paul. So the instruments of apostasy is not just false teachers that are clearly false teachers, but they can also be used by Satan, those that walked in the faith before. And that's what John is dealing with in 1 John. They went out from us, but they were not of us. Because if they were really of us, they would never have gone out from us. We're talking about motivation. And as a result of that, these are instruments of apostasy. there are ones that we need to be cognizant of. Coming to a close here. We see the definition of apostasy, rebellion, going beyond, deserting the truth, forsaken, falling away. We see the source of apostasy, and that is Satan himself. We see the instruments of hypocrisy, and that's the idea of all the different instruments, false teachers, leaders, you name it, Satan will use you to undermine the word of God. And lastly, and this is one I find kind of interesting, and that's the essence of apostasy. The essence of apostasy. You remember, Bob Newhart? He had a show, maybe it's just for counselors, but it was a show that he said he will see clients, and it's his services, he has a flat rate, it's $5. If you know Bob Newhart, he can keep a straight face and because you're just rolling on the floor. So this lady comes to him, he said, yeah, she has a problem. He said, okay, he said, that's $5. And she said, when you haven't heard the problem, he said, well, I have a flat rate. It's $5. And so she gives him $5. She gives him $10. He said, do you not have $5? He said, I don't like to make change. So she digs around her purse, she gets $5. So she, okay. So he said, okay. So she lays out this complex issue that she's going through. And he listens about half. He said, I got a solution to that. And she said, but you haven't heard the whole story. He said, yeah, but I know the solution. She said, what is it? He said, he said, two words. So she gets out her pad, she gets ready to write. He says, just two words. You can remember that. And she said, okay, what is it? He said, stop it. And she said, well, let me make sure I got that right. He said, it's just two words. Just stop it. The essence of apostasy, you know what I kind of stumble on here? With all the profoundness of the perfunctory thought, there's just one word that really shows the essence of apostasy. You might want to take a note. It's just one word, though. And it's the word not, N-O-T. Watch how this goes. When the originator, when the source of apostasy visited our mother and father in the garden, God says we can eat any fruit, but if we bite that one, we will surely die. Satan said, not. The early church, the disciples, the apostles, they taught that Jesus came in the flesh. Apostasy said what? Not. He didn't come in the flesh. The disciples taught that the resurrection is in the future. We're going toward it. We're hoping toward it. Apostasy says, not. The resurrection already passed. You missed it. The disciples taught that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. Jesus says these disciples, these men that I've trained, when they speak, it's going to be me speaking, and me speaking is going to be like God speaking, and you can trust their words. The apostasy says, not. You got to listen to me. So the essence of apostasy is whatever God says, it says not. That's profound. That's $5. So what we see here then, as we look at our world today, as we look at the challenges that are facing the church today, as we talk about thriving as opposed to just surviving, you and I need to realize that we have to adhere to a thus saith the Lord. And any change. It might seem or sound or even feel archaic, then you just get you a horse and leave that automobile alone. It is better for us to enter into heaven riding a donkey than to go to the other place driving a Porsche. What we're saying tonight, what I'm saying tonight, is the essence of apostasy is whenever God says something, there's the not peace to it. What is God's desire for your life? God clearly says it. But you and I, if we're opening our ears to strange music, we're going to hear a knot in there. God really doesn't want to cramp your style like that. He really doesn't want you to be sad as you discipline your life. He really doesn't want, you get the idea. And what we begin to hear is with those itchy in the ears, because none of us just love discipline. We run away from it like a mouse from a cat. But discipline we must have. And the first statement of discipline is adhering to the Word of God. And if a knot comes in there, brethren, you and I cannot even guess where we might end up. Can you imagine, as I close, what Paul is saying here? He's not talking to Christians that even live 100 years after the preaching and the teaching of Christ. He's talking to people that actually was converted by people that knew Jesus. He's talking to people that were familiar with the disciples that followed Jesus. And if these individuals who knew Christ, who heard the original sermons or listened to the person that heard the original sermon, if they can be affected by apostasy, how much more so us? Here is John, who writes to a shepherd that John probably converted. And Diotrephes says, we won't hear your message. So how long does it take for apostasy to sink in? Just like that. In Romans chapter 1, our ancestors, the Gentiles, they really wanted to bring God down because they couldn't fathom the loftiness of his position. So they added some knots in there. And all of a sudden, God wrote them all off. Paul preached. Timothy preached. Titus preached. And those individuals that received the message, they began to tinker around. Paul sent for the elders from Ephesus to meet him over in Miletus. These are men that Paul has stayed with and served for several months. And it's among these people that apostasy will spring forward. Brethren, if you and I think that we can kind of glibly adhere to the Word of God, that we don't need to be serious about a thus saith the Lord, you and I are just a breath away from an apostasy, even in our time. A knot. We have several going on now, and that is you really don't have to do certain things. We have a lot more liberality than what we've been told before. Be real careful. You can technically drink some strychnine. You really can. That's what I've been told. I haven't tasted it, tried it. But I'm told that just a little a smidgen of strychnine won't kill you. You want to have a drink out here in the lobby when we finish tonight? We need to be the same way toward apostasy. I don't want to see how far away from God I can get. I want to see how close. This is what this new package is about. There's a lot of people out here that do not have the same blessing that you and I have, and that is being able to study the Word of the Lord unencumbered. There are a lot of people with websites and all kinds of stuff on TV and radio and the web that will tell you anything you want to hear. But it's apostasy. It's putting a knot in God's Word. How about you tonight? Have you heard the wonderful, sweet words of Jesus? Here is someone, even though he was not believed upon, he still made the effort and shared the Word of God. And some people believed him. Some did not. But he didn't adjust his teaching based upon the recipients. If you and I cry fire, because there's a fire actually burning, let's cry fire. And that's not to say, well, I'm not going to say fire because it gets a lot of people kind of worked up and they might run and all that. If the building's on fire, holler fire. Holler fire. You and I, we don't have to be negative. We don't have to be ungodly. We don't have to be hard-hearted. We simply must speak the Word of God. and not put any philosophies in there. When we take it, it is a beautiful thought because it ushers out of the very heart of God Almighty. And that's what you've heard tonight. Hear the wonderful news, believe it, repent of your sins, confess the great name. Yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, trusting Christ. That massive rock, the confession that Jesus is the Christ, go down with that reality with Christ in the water grave of baptism. Allow him to wash all your sins away. And you come up out of that water grave walking in the newness of life. If you're here and if you're subject to heaven's invitation in any way, won't you please come? We're together standing, sing some invitation.
When should I feel so sad? Why does my heart feel so glad? And why doesn't my soul feel so happy, happy and gay? And the wind all around me burdens fall. I'm never worried at all. For if I pray, King Jesus will roll all my burdens away. And all away, all away, all away, King Jesus will roll all burdens away. If to him I pray, and he'll open doors for me. Doors I'm not able to see. And that's why I say, King Jesus will roll all my burdens away.
One of the things that we have worked really hard here at Greenville Avenue, and that is making sure the word of the Lord is taught. I really want to encourage, because there are so many apostasies that we come in contact with. I really, as Brother Keith mentioned this morning during Bible class, really want to just solicit you to be a part of this Bible study in church. It might not affect you right now, but you know, if you sow seeds of discord, they tend to be produced in the next generation. We want to make sure we adhere to the word of the Lord and be careful about apostasy. God bless you. I appreciate your attentiveness tonight. Thank you very much.